This is Dan, bar manager here at Firehouse. Thank you all for coming. Some familiar faces, very good. It's our last beer dinner, so we're excited to have Salad Dweller here. This is Tiffany and Steve. And I'm going to start bringing up food here in about 10 minutes. But until then, I'll be talking to you. So enjoy.
Just thanks for everyone coming out. I'm Steve Shaw, I'm the head brewer. This is my niece Tiffany. She does all of our sales, marketing. She's in the cellar with me helping sometimes, but I'm trying to get her more out to be the public face because she's a lot prettier than me. Just to give you some background of us, we Cellar Dwellers in the Cellar of Valley Vineyards Winery. Valley Vineyards Winery has been around for 41 years. Cellar Dweller, we've been a brewery for, it'll be 2 years this February. Right now we have a rotating tap line. We have 18 beers on label. In our tap room we have anywhere from 8 to 10 beers at a time on tap. Tonight you have four of our more flagship beers. I know the Copperhead is what we call it our flagship session beer. It's an American Pale Ale. Very drinkable. It's a
6.2.
That's why I have her. It's hopped with a Magnum, Pearl, and Cascade hops. About 36 IBUs. Very drinkable. Our Orange Vivi, it's an American style wheat beer. It is flavored with black pepper, coriander, and bitter orange. And I think that's what we're starting with our salads tonight. We'll just kind of give you a rundown of the real quick beers, and then we'll break out in more of a conversation. Shawson, right?
Yep.
And then for the entree, we're having Shawson, which is our black IPA. We classify that beer as a black IPA. It is more of a hybrid. It's really not a black IPA. It's got a little bit of everything going on in it when you taste it. I'm the kind of brewer who, I don't believe in brewing by the BGCB guidelines. I think that makes us stagnant as American brewers. Everybody tries to brew for a metal or tries to brew for a style or a classification. I don't like that. When I brew a beer, I want to drink a beer that you're going to like and you're going to drink. When you come back to it, you're going to be like, wow, that was different. Well, that's what I want. I don't want you to think, man, that tastes like Sierra Nevada, or that tastes like this beer, or this, you know, I don't want that. When you drink my beer, I want you to know you were drinking my beer. So I kind of flirt with those guidelines a lot. And sometimes people will give us a little hard time about it because they're like, well, you know, and I've heard it from some people that are coming to our tap room, especially with our black IPA. And it's called Shawson because my last name's Shaw. And I'm proud of that beer.
It's awesome.
And I was struggling with the name of it. And I was sitting there and I was like, man, this is awesome. And I was like, there you go. But it's got some roasted malt in it. It's got barley. It's got wheat. It's got two-row brewers. It's got a little bit of everything going on in it. When you taste it, you'll taste some of the coffee hints, the chocolate, the roasted side. So it's kind of it flirts with an IPA, it flirts with an Imperial Stout, but it's neither one of those beers. So we just throw it out there. We call it a black IPA, but technically it's really not. So it's a hybrid beer. When we first put that beer on label, we called it a hybrid and it didn't sell. People come in, like, I don't like that. Well, then we called it a black IPA, and all of a sudden it's our best wholesale beer. And I'm like, I didn't change a thing. You just changed all your colors. But it is. It's just perception. Somebody came in there and was like, well, hybrid. What? I don't like that. And then our shutdown, which you'll have with dessert. We're doing it at the brewery. We're doing a fun thing. You know, I was a home brewer. I'm self-taught 100%. Everything I learned from making bad beer and trying to make it better. I read every book possible that was out there on brewing. You know, I have a whole catalog and library at my house. My wife's like, are you going to get rid of them? I'm like, no, I might read them again someday. So that's how I'm taught. I was a home brewer for 10 years. 90% of the brewers in our area, the local brewers, they all started out as home brewers. So I had this idea sitting around. I'm like, you know, it would be fun when I was a home brewer, if somebody would invite me into their brewery to brew a beer. You know, and to put that beer on tap and to see what people's reactions were. So I was sitting one day and I thought, you know, that'd be fun. So we're doing a thing. And there's a joke in the brewery industry. And if you talk to any of the brewers, you know, we'll go in and we have people come in all the time. You know, like, hey, you know, I'm thinking about opening a brewer. You know, I want to do this. So there's a joke in the brewery thing. You're like, so you want to be a brewer, do you? You know, everybody thinks it's like a fun, you know, but it's a lot of late nights, long hours. I love it, and I would recommend everybody that wants to do it, but you have to do it for the right reasons. You know, it's a passion. So we do a thing once a month, and we call it, So You Want to Be a Brewer. And you come into our brewery, you'll send me your recipe, you know, bring in samples, I'll pick somebody to do once a month, and we're going to keep doing it. And you'll brew your beer on our equipment, and we'll feature it on a Thursday night in our tap room, and then we distribute small quantities of it so that it's your beer getting distributed out there. And the beer tonight is it's from Danny Spears. He's a local blogger, and he's beermumbo.com. Great guy. I mean, he's a great guy to hang out with, fun, does us local brewers a good job. But this is his beer. It's his recipe. We tweaked it a little bit, not real big, but he came to us, brewed it. We brewed it in our brewery, and I love it. It's what I'm drinking right now. It's real chocolate forward, real heavy beer. It's about 9.5% alcohol, which you are not going to think it's 9.5% alcohol when you taste it. When I taste it, I'm like, I told Dan, like, you know, we tried it out of the fermenter. I'm like, it's about 6.5%. Well, when we bought it, it came out at 9.5. I'm like, wow. You know, I never imagined it would have been that much. And that's with your dessert. It's like I said, it's chocolate. I mean, when I first taste it, Danny calls me and he's like, hey, what do you think? I was like, it's kind of like a Kit Kat bar. Drinking a Kit Kat bar. But I enjoy it. It's different. And it's unfiltered. You know, it's got it's a brown ale base. We made 110 gallons of it, and it's got almost 15 pounds of raw cocoa nibs in it. Either in the whirlpool or in the dry secondary. So it's a unique beer. I don't think anybody out there has made one like it. And, you know, our next beer that we're doing with a guest brewer, it's a oatmeal cookie raisin. So the guy sends me the recipe, and I'm like, man, that's kind of odd, but let's brew it. You know, and that's what I want to do. I want to do stuff that I normally wouldn't do. So I'll turn it over to Tiffany now for the marketing side. You guys, tonight, Queen City Fresh is recording it. It'll be available on their website. This is Chris Stevens from Queen City Fresh. So, you know, interact tonight. Ask, you know, if you guys got questions when you get the beers, ask. We'll be happy to help you. If you want to touch on our background and our business.
Yeah, I'm a Schuster, and actually 43 years ago, my grandpa started the winery, and we've been a winery ever since 2 years ago when we started the brewery. He tells you he's been a brewer 10 years, but I know his age, and I know he was brewing beer when he was 16 years old, so before he was old enough to buy it, so it's a little longer than 10 years, but and the Copperhead he told you about is one beer he's brewed at home. He brought that recipe with him, so that one he's been brewing a long, long time. We're very proud of that one, as well as other beers.
I technically started brewing beer because when I was younger, I really liked drinking beer. Probably shouldn't have been doing it, but I wasn't old enough to buy beer, but I figured out that I was old enough to buy everything to make beer.
And is there anybody in this room that hasn't ever tried our beer before tonight?
Never.
A couple?
Ever.
Good. Okay. Cool. Yeah. A lot of you probably haven't seen us at a lot of places. Definitely not in stores. We're not retail yet. We're not packaged in any packaging retail-wise. We are in some local bars. Firehouse is, of course, one. You'll find us in a couple dozen bars from Dayton or Columbus to Cincinnati. But really, in the past couple months, we've just really been able to get out and start selling our beer. I don't know if anybody's ever been to Valley Vineyards, but we have the Grill Your Own State Cookout, and we couldn't keep up with the beer demand that we were selling in our own tap room for 2 years. So we've just finally, or a year and a half, we've just finally been able to upgrade our brew system, make enough beer to get out and sell it to some other local bars. So keep your eye out for some more of us at other local bars. Hopefully soon we'll package some and get it out at your local stores or wine beer shops, things like that. This is the orange VV. This is going to go with your salad. This is the one he was talking about, bitter orange peel, black pepper, coriander. Has a little bit of chamomile tea. It's an American wheat. Nice and light. Everyone should like this one. Does anybody have any questions right off the rip for us? Yeah. Yeah.
So you're not canning or bottling right now?
Not yet. We did do a small bottling around a year ago. And as fast as we got it bottled, it was gone. It all sold directly from our store, I believe.
And we weren't set up at the time. We just went. We were brewing a barrel at a time. And in the last 6 months, we've went to 10 barrel system. So now we're finally ramping up where our production's big enough to keep up with our wholesale demand. Actually, right now I just got the label approvals for it. We are going to start canning. We will be canning after the first of the year. We've already got the first two beers picked out that we're going to our first two runs. So once we do that, we're looking at other distribution means right now. So once we do that, you'll start seeing us out in more of the retail locations. But our goal is to start with 16-ounce four-pack cans.
So what are you going to can first? Which two?
Copperhead and the Shawson. The reason we're going that route is because those are our two best wholesale sellers. I mean, those two are probably three, four to one of all other beers right now in the wholesale market.
So what do you have there at Valley? We've been there, took some states, had some wines. What do you have in terms of how many beers do you have?
It ranges. There's been some times where we have four or five beers, but we usually try to keep anywhere from 8 to 10. But if you see a beer out, most likely you'll find it in our tap room first before you'll ever find it anywhere else. Right now we have anywhere from our Cellar Blues Light Ale on draft all the way to Shawson.
We have 10 right now.
Yeah, we actually had three test batch beers on tap. We had a porter, a Hibernation Ale, a blonde ESB, we have an ESB, Copperhead American Pale Ale. Is there something that you were asking specifically about or
I'm
missing out on?
Yeah, I've missed the last couple of outings that I've been here.
Oh,
much
here. Oh,
last
okay.
time I was there, it was Miller Lite, Bud Light.
Yeah,
and
we did Budweiser. Budweiser and Bud Light for a long time before we knew that it was right within our family means to get a good brewery there. So in the past 2 years, if you came in, it wasn't really advertised as much, but we did have our own beer. Now we're really pushing it.
I'm a brother-in-law of the family, too. So what it was is, as I was brewing beer, I kept bringing beer to my family events, and they were like, well, it started getting better. And they were finally, my brother-in-law was like, hey, maybe we should start doing something. I'm like, yeah, I think we should.
So what is your total production? If you just had to stop and brew one beer, what's your total capability?
On one, if we just brewed one beer?
We can brew about 1,000 gallons a week. One U.S. barrel is 31 gallons of beer. So, a lot of people think a barrel is 55, but the beer is 31. Wine's 59.6. But I can brew about 300 to 400 gallons a day, depending on the beer. Not that I want to do that 5 days, 6, 7 days a week, but yeah.
And that, like what I was saying, where we started out, when we first started brewing beer, we were brewing 10-gallon batches of beer at a time. So anybody knows 10-gallon milk jugs, 10 of those, that's nothing. And, we were selling more than we could keep up with. So that's why a lot of people are just starting to see us, starting to hear about us. We upgraded our brew system. Now production is a lot bigger, and we're able to get a lot more beers out for fans like you guys to try. So
we got the new brew system. I thought, actually, we'll be able to do brew production, and then I'll be able to come back, brew the test stuff. I'm a brewer that I always want to have different stuff, new things in our tap room. So when you come to our tap room, you're always going to find three or four beers that we've never had before. So when you come into our tap room, expect that. You'll catch the four or five consistent beers, and then the other three to five will be something new that we haven't had on tap room. And we brew them still in small batches. And then I'll pick how those succeed in the tap room, whether we're going to brew full runs of them. Right now, we brewed a porter. It went really well. That is going to be our next full seasonal brew, which will be our winter, which I'm brewing actually tomorrow.
How big are your test batches?
15 gallons.
Anybody else? Yeah.
Are you the only brewer?
I have. She helps in the cellar. She does a lot of the kegging, the transferring and stuff like that. Then I have another guy that, he helps me one or two days a week. He comes in. He's a UC flight nurse, so the part-time job in the brewery is not really paying his bills. He's just having fun. And comes in. He's a great guy. So,
So there's three of us. Me, him, and the other guy. He works a lot. I work a lot. Sean helps when we can.
So if we're drinking $7, we're brewing.
Yes.
Yeah. Even
I've
if
never
Sean,
brewed a beer. I'll do everything but brew. I'll watch. I'll learn. I've never brewed. So.
Even if Sean's there, I mean, it's still, if you're drinking it, I brewed it.
Yeah. Well, we'll let you guys enjoy your salad. If you have any other questions about this beer, let us know. And we'll explain the next one when it comes out. Thanks, guys. How do we like that beer?
That was good.
Oh, like it? Yeah, that we were just sitting here talking, and that's one of the couple beers that we don't filter. So that one, as you can tell, it's kind of cloudy, of course. If anybody doesn't know or knows about filtering, that one's unfiltered.
Is that more of your season?
We like to have that one on more like summertime. Usually in the winter, we'll take it off. I don't think he's going to brew that one again until it gets a little warmer out. We'll have some more dark, heavier.
That is probably the last keg that'll leave our brewery until April or May.
Yeah. Yeah, you won't even. This one's not on tap in the tap room right at this moment either. So, anybody else have any questions?
So we. Well, my question is that like the last one that sort of exists right now, or do you? I mean, do you brew them on demand, or do you just say, "Hey, this is our run," and like when it's out?
Yeah, this one. We have what, one half barrel left at the brewery. Yeah. Which what we'll do with that one is. Keep it there, and like on a night, we'll just throw it on tap real quick and be like, you know, one night only deal. But we'll brew it again probably in April so that it's ready by May. And then we'll have that beer all through summer. We brew probably four batches of it a year. We don't package it, so, and it's funny because the way the beers work, it's Chris can probably attest to this one, is if you brew a Bock, that Bock after March, you can't give it away. But from February to March, you can sell out of every batch you make.
Same with Oktoberfest.
Yeah, and you know, it's crazy. It's like, you know, so, and this beer is kind of that same theory. It's a great summer beer. I call it a lawnmower beer. You know, sitting out mowing the grass, sitting on the boat or something. It's a great one. But that beer, you can't sell it after September, October. You know, it just kind of dies off. Porters, you know, are kind of that way too. If anything, the bigger, heavier beers, you just kind of, there's a set season for them.
The next one is the Schalsom. I know he already told a lot about this one. This is the kind of hybrid beer he was talking about. So we kind of jump from very light to very dark and heavy. Some of you that are into lighter beers might not be crazy about this one, but don't be afraid to give it a try. Just because it says IPA, the roasted barley really kind of takes over in this beer, and it kind of really balances out that bitterness. So if you've ever tried a regular IPA, it's not as bitter as that at all. I can drink this one, and I'm not a huge IPA fan.
What's
so.
The IBU on this?
Over 100. A little over 100.
But it does.
But taste-wise, you'll be surprised.
The bitterness is not going to be there like a standard IPA that punch you. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be more balanced out because of the roast. It has roasted barley, chocolate malt.
That's what it was. It was Niagara wheat.
Now that was
the Niagara wheat was a
rare.
Yes. Listerman, when they did they wanted every brewer to brew one beer that nobody's ever had before. And with us being a winery, I thought, you know, let's do something really crazy. We brewed a standard base American wheat beer base, and then we added fresh Niagara grape juice, which. The day we pressed it, I went out and took a 5-gallon bucket and was catching underneath the press, and we added it to the fermentation stage of the beer. That beer was...
Thank you.
It was a one try. If I was to do it again, there was a few things I would change on it, so I don't know how you felt about it.
Oh, yeah, I was like, who made this beer?
It's kind of becoming the popular thing, too, like the wine must and beer, or grape juice and beer.
Opportunity that a lot of other breweries don't have, all this, you know, wine equipment.
We're one of two estate winery breweries in the state of Ohio. And we actually hold our distiller's license too, which that's coming in the future. You know, us being a brewery and a winery, we throw a lot of things away that can be distilled into something else. So that's coming down the road a little bit. Yeah, I talked to a lot of people that had that beer at Listerman that day, because that beer went two ways. You know, either they liked it or they were like,
oh. Oh, really? Yeah, I liked it. I was drinking a ton in the morning.
I think they did tap it 10 a.m. in that way.
Hey, if you want some of those rare good ones, you gotta go early.
Got there early.
It was a cold, rainy day.
My family was in town. It was kind of an awesome
day. So I went there. It was like the Chacao.
Oh, yeah, start early.
The, the cinnamon roll
like
Chacao was like, oh my goodness.
I think my mom really liked that one. I like the Irish cream.
I was like, how did you do that? It tasted just like a cinnamon roll. I mean, you got the icing forward on it. Did you have that beer?
I got a third layer. I missed that one. I wanted to
it
go there.
Crazy, man.
That's the one I wanted to do of all of them.
Yeah, that would be like our fullest body, most hoppy beer. I say it's the kind of beer you can eat with a fork. But, however, when it gets cold out, we cannot keep this beer in stock, so...
I drink it all the
time. To each his own, you know. There's a beer out there for
sort of
everyone.
Like, it's been a hard week, and this is good.
It's going down good for you? Good.
It's a hard week. It's only Monday.
I just thought about that. It is only Monday.
been a long day.
You got to prepare for everything.
That's a great week for
everything. Yeah. Especially Thanksgiving week, right?
Yeah.
What's the IBU?
Over 100. I think it's like 105, 106, 110.
Really?
Doesn't taste like it, does it? That's why I was... He asked what the IBUs were on that beer, and...
If you take the roast and the chocolate out of it, that beer would really... it would... The IBUs would come right out of it.
Like they were talking about...
The roast and the chocolate kind of balances the bitterness out, so...
They were talking about Hoppy Poppy. That's our regular IPA. And they're both about the same IBUs, but if you were to drink Hoppy Poppy next to Shalsom, totally different bitterness level, totally different taste.
And if anybody here is a Hoppy Poppy fan, if you've drank our IPA, that beer is going to go through a name change. So
yeah,
the TTB is giving us a fit over it. So the Poppy, they don't like the Poppy. I've submitted... formulas, and since we are a brew pub production brewery, so we have a little bit more leeway in the TTB regulations because we can serve more of our beers in the tap room. You know, and the colas, since that beer is going to be one that we package, I'm working on the colas approvals right now, which is for the TTB to approve all the labeling and the formulas. Well, they're kind of, I've been fighting with them now for about 6 weeks over the name. I'm like, it has no Poppy in it. And they're like, but it says Poppy. I'm like, it doesn't. So then I submitted formulas. They still aren't going to let the name go. So we're going to change the name of that beer to Happy Pappy instead of Poppy. And it actually works out better because my dad, when I was a little kid, I remember my dad was big into CB radios. You know, and everybody probably in that time frame, you know, the CB radios were huge. Well, I was a little kid, and my dad's handle was Happy Pappy. And so I came up with this thing to call the beer Hoppy Poppy, kind of a play on my dad's CB handle name. And so now it's just going to be his actual CB handle instead of a play on it. So
it's going anyway. Back to what it was going after anyway. So
my mom was a rainmaker. I think she knew Happy.
Why are you canning instead of bottling?
Why not? It's cool, right? No.
To be honest with you, I'll tell you, I mean, I'll be as honest with you. I'm a boater, you know, and I can't, if you show up on my boat with a bottle of beer, I'm going to probably hit you with that bottle, because I don't want to hear it rattling around or breaking my boat. But, and second of all, the main reason is, it is technically a better product than a can. You know, a bottle is not a 100% true seal, it lets light in. A can is a better, you know, in my opinion, you're going to have, you know, you could have 10 brewers sit down at a table, discuss can, bottle, and you'll have 5 of them that will go can, and 5 of them will go bottle.
And at my, I'm not going to tell my age, but at my age, I think canning is going to make a total big comeback versus all the bottles we've seen over the years.
Chris, how do you feel?
Put me on the spot here. Well, if you drink it fast enough, it's not going to matter, right? no, I think definitely seeing canning, all not just here locally with Matchery and like Ryan Geist has plans of can. Rivertown has a can now, Hot Bomber. So it seems to be the trend. Like you said, it's nice packaging. It's more probably more recyclable. Keeps the light out. So there's a lot of reasons why it's, I think, the preference going forward. I'm sure bottles will still be around. They're not going to go away, but you'll see a lot more and more craft beer bands have starting introducing cans. Oscar Blues started it, and other ones like that. So I think that trend will continue.
Your Thanksgiving beer. What should we have with Thanksgiving?
Well, if you're with my family, you're going to drink a lot of beer. Just beer. For us, I mean, probably the stout. Our stout is it's a really good solid stout. It's a dry Irish stout. So if you're drinking one of ours for Thanksgiving dinner, I will probably be drinking a Lookout Stout for my Thanksgiving dinner.
I was going to pick Copperhead. I love this.
I'll be drinking Copperhead with all the football games.
He'll have this during the day and then go to stout. Don't let him lie. But we'll have this one next. It's a little hoppy, not overly, nice and balanced.
Yeah. Queen City Press is a beer blog in town, one of many. So we support the local craft beer scene. We've got a lot of events, and we do audio, we do interviews, we go and promote these guys' events around town. So we're just really craft beer fans and trying to help them.
These guys, I mean, the bloggers in our town, it's funny because I had a talk with Rick Harmon from the Akron Beacon Journal. And he stopped at our brewery last Wednesday night, I think it was the 8-ball opening. Yeah, it was Wednesday night, because I was willing to go to the 8-ball opening, and Rick showed up at our place at like 5:30. He was like, hey, are you going to be around a little while? I was like, well, I was just, yeah, I'll be here. And he and I had a huge talk about you guys, you bloggers. And it's funny, the Cincinnati beer market is just now exploding. You know, Cleveland beer market has been booming for years. And the Cincinnati market, you know, it just kind of started taking off. Well, in Cleveland, they don't have these bloggers like we do down here. And these guys are a huge asset. I mean, we, you know, support these guys. Go to their websites and you know, check them out. These guys, man, Chris or any of these guys, I can call them up and say, hey, you know, I got this going on this week. Can you help me out? Man, they'll put it out there. Chris sends me a message every week on Facebook. Hey, what do you got going on in your taproom this week? And I'm not very good at responding to him a lot of times, because half the time, my phone, I'm horrible about cell phones and
that's why I'm here.
Social media, because I come home from work, man, and usually I'm kicked back, I'm watching TV, and my cell phone's in the other room on a charger, and then in the morning on my way to work, I'll get in the car, I'll look at my phone real quick, and then see these guys' messages and stuff, and I'm like, well, I gotta get to that. Then I get to work, and I forget.
And it doesn't work in the cellar, so.
And I'm horrible about that, so 9 times out of 10, Chris, that's why you get my message, like, the next day or 2 days later, and he's like, well, I just put that out. I'm like, well, all right, well, next week, about the same stuff. So I'm bad about that. These guys help us out a ton, you know? I mean, we have our social media following, but these guys, their social media following is huge. And so, I mean, they help us out a lot more than we help them out. I mean, these guys, without them, I mean, it would be tough. Our advertising budgets would probably have to be bigger. These guys take care of it for us. And it's funny, these guys all get together, they do things together, and they all, you know, they all kind of support us. We support them, we try to support them. I'm grateful for them, you know.
They all go to the local beer events. They drink the local beer, so they, you know, they have their opinions. They say what they like and maybe what they don't like about beer, so.
And if you don't like my beer, tell me. Or, you know, there's an app out there, Untappd. And I follow that religiously every day. I'm on there, like, and if you check into one of my beers, 99.9% of the time, if you like my brewery, I'm going to correspond back to you and say, hey, thanks for support. Thanks for checking in.
Cheers.
Glad you liked it. And I say, you know, I do. And when you get that message on Untappd, it comes directly from me. But I have a problem with Untappd. And I've had this conversation with some of the other bloggers. The problem with Untappd is it doesn't have a side note on it. So you can rate my beer wherever you want, and I'll accept that. But if you rate it bad, I want to know why you thought it was bad. It does, but it doesn't. Not nobody uses that. But if you like IPAs, if you're say if you're a light beer drinker, and you check into my IPA and you don't like it, that's not my beer's fault. That's your fault. Why did you drink an IPA if you don't like IPAs? So, you know, my thing is, if you give me a bad rating on Untappd, rate the beer for what it is, not for what you like.
Right.
Because the other people are drinking that beer or looking there and they're like, well, that beer was bad. Well, technically the beer wasn't bad. You didn't like it. So I always ask people, if you give me a bad rating on tap, 9 times out of 10, I'll comment back to you and say, was there something wrong with the beer, or did you just not like it? Because if there's something wrong with the beer, I will get you, I will come meet you and buy you another beer, because if that bar was serving a bad beer, or we had a bad, you know, I want to know.
Is that a promise?
That's a promise. That is a promise. I will meet you and buy you another one. Or I'll find out why that beer was bad there.
I won't be general. I'll be very specific.
No, but I'm just saying, I mean, Chris probably appreciates what I'm saying here, because if we see that, you know, it's like, and I've had people come up with like, oh, that beer's nasty. I'm like, well, why is it? Well, it's way too hoppy.
Well,
what's an IPA?
Well, I'm not an IPA drinker. Well, why'd you rate the IPA then?
This is the Copperhead.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm getting all my
food. She was over here digging in and like.
So this is the beer that, this is the one I said I would drink on Thanksgiving Day, or this is our flagship beer. This is the one, he said he's been brewing 10 years, but it's been more like over 15, like 20. Don't let him lie. But yeah, this is the only recipe we have on file that he brought to the brewery with him that he's been making for years and years and years. A little bit hoppy, not overly, nice and balanced. It's about 6.2% ABV. Take a second drink if you don't like the first one.
One more.
It does taste a little hoppy at first, but we were just sitting out here at the bar. I had one, and he had one before we came in here. And I'm like, you know, this batch is really good. I feel like it's not overly hoppy. It's nice and balanced.
It doesn't stay hoppy.
Yeah.
It's got a dry finish to it.
It's all forward.
Yeah.
Falls off.
It has a good, Copperhead has a good nose. It has a ton. It's dry hop on a ton of Cascade hops.
Right.
Well, like the first half of an IPA, it's the second half like
right. They asked where you can get growler fills. You can get them at our tap room or at Firehouse Grill. I think they do have. Do you have your own growler already?
Not yeah.
With us, but yeah.
I think they. I saw a few out there. They sell them. Yeah, I mean, we have growlers, we do fills. They have, I think they sell growlers here at the bar and they'll fill them.
We'll soon be in Whole Foods too.
Yeah. I'm working on Jungle Gyms too, guys, so.
Jungle Gyms will be there December.
December 6th will be at Jungle Gyms for a pint night at Eastgate Jungle Gyms.
Oh.
Are you on the growler stop?
We're there tomorrow.
Oh, you're not on there yet? Okay.
Yeah. I just heard about this place today.
Gas station.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, by Wax, right there at Wax.
You guys ever been to on the Tap House Grill or the Yard House? Everybody look like that?
Yard House, we are in the works there.
You're in the works?
Yard House is, as you know, they have very many beers on tap,
sure.
And everybody wants on tap there. It is. I went there. Maybe 4 or 6 weeks ago, and the line to get on tap, if they tried your beers that day, was March.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I have been there. I have talked to the bar manager, but even if he chooses us, it'll be spring time.
We're also in Flip Daddy's right now. You can get growler fills at Flip Daddy's.
Anywhere
on
UC's campus?
The Brass Tap. You're the best blogger ever, Chris. Those other guys.
That's staying in.
Like that Danny Spears guy?
I don't brew. Well, actually, I did my first brew with 50 West Brewery. Yeah. Us bloggers have an event coming up mid-December, I forget the date. I think it's the 13th. So if you've been to 50 West before down in Marymount, they do an event called Cannonball Wednesday where they get some of their staff to do the brew beer. And they put that on one night at like $15 or $20 to try 6 new beers and 6 new bites. And you vote on it. And if you're an amateur, you beat out some of the pros who brew the beer, you get a chance to put your beer on the tap handles. Well, we went there for one of their events for that to help promote it. And they invited us down. And we got talking. And they said, how about we do a cannonball event with the bloggers? So the bloggers went down, and they're calling it a cannonball. Instead of cannonball. And we went down and brewed a beer a few weeks ago. So I'm not a home brewer. There's several, like you mentioned, obviously you're going to drink Danny's beer next. Danny's a home brewer, Beer Mumbo. There's other guys in town who are bloggers and that are home brewers as well. So there was a mix of us who hadn't done it before. It was our first time. And quite a few. I probably 4 or 5 that I actually had.
If you guys ever want a good laugh.
That's right.
Danny Spears has another blog, Dad Mumbo. And I read that every day because I mean, it's a great start to your day because it's funny.
He's definitely one of the more entertaining bloggers in town. He's got a great personality. It's funny.
Do you think IPAs will be kind of a trend for a while and then something
else? No.
I feel that there is an IPA trend out there, but I do also believe that IPAs are, I mean, they're a solid style beer. They're here to stay.
Where were they before then?
I might be stoned to death for this comment, but I'm going to go make it. Like the Stone Enjoy By Date IPAs, that one drives me crazy. Because that beer got on a truck and drove here, and then now you got to enjoy it by this date. That's a fad beer to me. I don't, you know, I mean, it's some of them are good, but I think they're fadding that name out there.
It's a marketing ploy.
It's a marketing ploy, it is. You know, it's Stone IPA. I mean, Stone makes damn good beer. Don't, you know, I'm not going to say or say Stone beer is not good because it is. I mean, them and Three Floyds are why I brew beer. I mean, honestly. Founders. I mean, you cannot, I mean, I'm not going to, those are damn good beers. There's a lot of good beers out there. Scott from Blank Slate, that guy is probably my favorite brewer in town. I mean, he has not made a beer that I'm not like, wow, this is a solid beer. Kevin from Triple Digit, you know, and Listerman, his beers are always like, I'm like, what are you going to do next? You know, it's like, what are you going to do next? And you have, you know, the Chicago, how are you going to do it? And it's like, he does it. That's the kind of brewers I like. You know, I like those guys that are out there doing something different. But Stone, I mean, it's just, we were on the conversation about the IPA. You know, that's a fad beer to me. That's a fad thing. You know, if they were going to make a solid beer all the time. But Stone, you know, I'm not going to knock Stone. Awesome beer, great brewery. You know, like Founders. I mean, there's not a beer out there I don't think Founders has ever made that I'm not, when I drink it, I'm like, man, this is outstanding, perfect. Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah, see, I think the one thing, Steve, I would mention is that's the fun thing about craft beer. You have so many different options as opposed to just the regular old Bud Light or Miller Light, Coors Light. You got stouts and you got sours. You got, I think the big thing now is bourbon barrel age or any kind of barrel age stuff is the next big thing. And I happen to like sours. I think it's kind of probably a little bit out there, but your beer geeks are really into those type of things. And as people keep trying more and more craft beer, they'll try more and more different styles. So I think that'll be an ever-evolving kind of what's hot right now. Certainly IPA and double IPAs are the big thing. But that's always going to just keep changing as people's tastes evolve. They're going to get sick of drinking IPAs, and they're going to go to stouts, and they're going to try, you know, barrel-aged stuff, and then they'll try sours, and you'll just keep trying different stuff.
And with the business we're in together, with having the winery and the brewery together in the same building, we run into both sides of the, you know, the gauntlet. And the beer drinkers are just like the wine drinkers when they come together. And I've noticed this. When a wine drinker walks into our winery, the novice, you know, the start-out wine drinker, they usually start sweet. Well, that sweet wine drinker will drink that sweet wine drink, and then all of a sudden their palate starts going drier, drier, drier. Well, then they're up there at the driest wines we have over time. And I've noticed this with beer drinkers, and I was one of them. You know, you're going to start drinking that light beer. Well, all of a sudden you're going to get kind of bored with that light beer, and you're going to like, hey, you know, let me try this. Well, then all of a sudden you start developing that palate for it. And most people, you know, and I've seen it, we make a beer called Cellar Blues, and it's a very light, very drinkable beer. It's just, it's our, you know, we have a lot of people that come into our place for dinner that aren't necessarily wine drinkers, they're not necessarily beer drinkers, they're just looking for a light beer to drink with their steak or their salmon. So I made Cellar Blues. I make Cellar Blues, and I call it Cellar Blues because it makes me sad to make it. So, you know, and I tell people that it's a joke. I mean, I'm glad people like it, and it's probably one of our best-selling beers in our tap room for dinner. But when I'm down there and I'm brewing, I'm like, man, this is just, you know, it's like, it doesn't have a lot of ingredients in it, doesn't have a lot of hops, it's just kind of like, you know, enjoy brewing it, but the joke came out that, you know, and I was trying to pick a name for it, I'm like, all right, I'm going to name it, I'm like, man, it's Cellar Blues, because today I got to brew Cellar Blues. You know, I'm always looking to push something new, do something different, but I call that our gateway beer, because Tiffany works the bar a lot of nights, people will come in, all you have is that craft beer? We're like, yeah, that's all we have. Well, I don't like it. You know, I drink Bud Light. I drink Miller Lite. You know, we don't have it. Here, try this. You know, try this. You'll like it. You know, that's pretty. And 9 times out of 10, that person will take that first drink of that beer and they'll be like,
well, that tastes just like what I'm used to. I'll take it.
So it's like you got to get the, that, the mindset out of people. A lot of people have that mindset that they only like this.
Right.
Well, if you jump that fence to your backyard and try something different, you might like it. You know, so I always, you know, don't turn anything away. You know, my wife is the worst person in the world to be married to a brewer. You know, she likes wines, but she is Miller Lite, Miller Lite, Miller Lite. That's all she likes. And Chris from Arthur's, there's a running joke with us because I walk into Arthur's and Chris will reach down and he'll pour her a beer down underneath the bar and set the glass up on the bar. You know, nobody ever knows she's drinking a Miller Lite, but if you see my wife out and about, she's drinking a Miller Lite 9 times out of 10. She drinks Cellar Blue, she loves it. You know, the first time I made that beer, she's like, "You made this? No way." So, I mean, it's just, you know, as beer drinkers or the beer brewer, I ask, you know, go out and try something new every day. You know, I go into a bar, and the first thing I do is look. When I walk into a bar, my first question is, what do you have local? And then my second question is, well, what do you have new? You know, and I will. I mean, I've never had a bad beer. I've just had beers that are better than others. So, I mean, try, expand your palate. Try something new every time you go out.
I need to do the Brewbus. They had one that's in Columbus. They had one in Indianapolis.
It's coming.
It's coming to Cincinnati. Yeah. I can almost guarantee it.
There actually is two. There's two that I know of. The new one actually is a friend of Danny. It's called Cincy Beer Buzz.
All they have is new one.
But there's another one. And I know Tom from Queen City Drinks. It's they have some writers who also write for them. And they have a beer bus as well that goes around. So I know there's I can't think of the name of Fort Wayne.
They're
right
private.
I assume they're all private.
Well, we can do a self-guided tour.
We can just,
kind of out of the
beaten
path.
We can self-guide it in Indianapolis,
people.
And that was fun. It was fun.
We did that in Indy.
I've been here a lot of times. You guys aren't really local. I'm like,
Yeah, we are.
We're in Morrow. We're about 5 minutes from Kings Island.
We're within 50
You're
miles.
We're on the same road as Kenwood Mall. Which is right, quite a few miles down the road.
If I were a fly on the wall at Miller Brewing's board of directors, what would they be worried about? You guys.
You know what?
Everybody like you. What, aren't they? Are they a little bit concerned?
Yeah, they're concerned.
Like
you know, we are still just a small pinhead of the park, of the margin. But every month we're gaining steam. You know, and that's everybody. That's one of the funny things about all of us local brewers. Is honestly, we are not in competition with each other. You know, we all get together, we brew beer together. You know, like I've brewed collaboration beers with Kevin from Triple Digit and Listerman. You know, when we have our festival every year, we bring brewers to our place. You know, we sell their beer at our place. I don't want, our competition is not the local, our competition is Anheuser-Bev, you know, InBev and Miller Coors. That is our competition. But as a group, you know, that's our competition. We're not in competition with each other. I want you to go out and drink a Triple Digit beer. I want you to go out and drink a Blake Slate beer.
Because it's home.
What I want.
I call them a lot of microbrewers, like yourself, craft brewers. And a lot of them is that they all know each other.
We all
live together.
The guy at Triton Brewery, he knows everybody over here.
I mean, there's been times when I'm in the middle of brewing something, I'm like, oh shit, I'm out of Willamette hops. Scott, go.
All the time.
You know,
here comes that weirdo guy Dave.
when we first started on our new system, we didn't have enough kegs.
Okay.
You know, I called up, hey, can we pick out some kegs we're not using because I got a keg. And it was for our festival because I knew we were going to be selling a bunch of beer. Okay. I called up and said, hey, anybody got some kegs I can borrow just for the weekend? I'll have back to you on Monday. Come get them. Yeah.
More power to
you. Everybody, we're a family. We really are. You know, and we're all in for the common battle. You know, Listerman and Triple Digit, everywhere, they have like 4 festivals a year, and they have our beer there. Everybody's like, are you kidding me? Why would they do that? It's like, because we're all trying to promote each other. Yeah.
That's this local brewery.
We all have the same common goal, really. And, you know, who's the next best guy to ask if you don't know than someone in your same shoes just behind a different wall? That's what we're having next, anyway. Shut down Coco Brown. It was Beer Mumbo's beer that he made in our brewery. First brewer, so you think you want to be a brewer, do you?
So you just started that?
This was the first released beer that we've had, first month.
Well, he said Thursday night. The reason we have our home brewer releases on Thursday nights is we have live music, food and drink specials every Thursday night at the winery from 6 to 10. So we have a live band, then we'll release their beer, usually do like a promotion on it that night. And this was done last Thursday night. It went really, really well. Very chocolatey. Like you said, you won't know it's 9.5%. It's not hot or liquory at all. It's very good. But I guess we're having that with a brownie. I think that sounds pretty good.
And keep, I mean, look, friend us on Facebook, Cellar Roller Craft Beers, you know, on Facebook. Our website, cellarrollercraftbeers.com, which will take you to a page off of valleyvineyards.com. We update all of our events on there. I'm on Facebook every day. So usually when you, if you interact on Facebook, it's you're straight interacting with me. You know, I try to update it 3-4 times a week with something, you know, that's going on. So we are working on a new tap room kind of room at our place. We're going to hope to have here real shortly. More laid back, have TVs and some, you know, be able to come in and we'll have our appetizer style bar foods all the time. So that's something in the works.
I was going to say that too. We're probably one of, I don't know if the only one or one of very few tap rooms. We're open 7 days a week. So come out. I don't care what day it is.
A lot of them are.
We are there Monday through Sunday.
A lot of them have food trucks instead of actual food.
We have a full kitchen.
We're closed 2 days a year. Thanksgiving and Christmas.
That's about it. So, I mean, and we like to think our tap, we want you to feel at home when you come to our tap room. We're a mostly run family-owned business, so we want you to feel like family when you're there. So, come out and see us. Yeah.
No, I mean, what Tiffany said there is honestly the truth. When you come to our place, there is going to be a family member there. I mean, you're not, you're, there's never going to be a day when you walk in there that one of us family members are not there. So, it's, and we are. We sit down every day and eat lunch. We sit down and it's myself, my brother-in-law, my sister, my nephew, and my niece. We sit down and eat lunch together every day at the winery. I mean, and it is fun because it's a unique business feel. You know, it's, a lot of times it's not the easiest atmosphere in the world because
that's my boy.
You know, we can learn how to sit down there and discuss and argue and fight, but then you know, at the end, and we've done very well at separating business and family. You know, we can argue about something in the business mind, but when it's done, we're back to being, you know, family. I don't think there's ever been a problem.
What does everybody think about this beer?
It's really good with the brownie.
Definitely good with the brownie.
When Danny sent me the recipe for that beer, I was kind of like, I looked at him, I said, do you know how much cocoa nibs are in that recipe? He said, yeah. I said, do you know what that means to a commercial brewer? That beer is so expensive to make, we'll never make a dollar out of it. You know, and that's the difference in a home brewer and a commercial brewer. You know, a home brewer will throw anything in the world at a beer. Well, I'm sitting there now, you're looking at it, I'm like, oh, you know, I have to make money on this, too. So, didn't Danny's post say something about that the half the cocoa nibs in the world are in this beer?
Well, kind of.
And it's the God's truth, because when I was calling around for cocoa nibs, I called up, and I was like, I need 15 pounds of cocoa nibs. And this lady's like, what?
They said, we have 3-ounce packs. We're like, no.
I was like, no, I need 15 pounds.
3-ounce packs. We laughed.
So when did you start auditioning some of these home brewers that would, you know, that you would showcase?
Just send me an email at steve@valleyvineyards.com and then show interest. And then, if, I don't care what it is, we'll probably brew your beer. Because we want it to be that. We want it to be fun. I know, and I enjoy getting in there with these homebrewers because these guys all have the same passion. So when we get in the cellar, it's like once we start running. And the first one I did was with Danny, and Danny brought another blogger with him, thebrewprofessor.com, came with him, Michael Stewart. You know, and we were down there, and it was just a whole six-hour day talking about beer. You know, we sat around, we drank beer, we talked beer, we made beer.
Hey!
You know, I used to race, and it was like that same atmosphere. It's like I'd get around the guys that raced, and I was just sitting around with guys that drink beer. And Kevin Moreland, who our first collaboration beer that we brewed together. Kevin comes from a racing family, and he raced too. So there's a racing move in racing is called the slide job. You know, when you go in and you pull a slide job, and we brewed a beer together, and that's what we named it. We named it slide job. Well, all these other guys are like, slide job, what is that?
It's a cherry.
The cherry, yeah, it's a
cherry
imperial oatmeal stout. It's aged in a aged in one of Valley Vineyard's tawny port barrels.
Do you know where Kevin was going?
Don't put me on the spot like that.
It will be released.
Can you turn off the microphone?
How many times have you been asked that question?
Quite a few. No comment is the standard answer.
I was going to say problem. I was going to say that earlier too, and Chris was talking about all the flair with like bourbon barrel aging and stuff like that. That's another asset that we really have being a winery is we've had a unique beer the past two winters that I don't know anyone else locally or even really anyone I've never
there's one out there
I've never had it, but we make a port wine at our winery that is aged for 7 to 12 years in a barrel. And then we take basically like our English ale base, which is real malty, and we age it in the port wine barrel. And then we, in the wintertime, that's our season, we call port barrel ale. It takes on a whole new twist.
It's the wine. Or is it the beer?
It's both. So it's a wine barrel, port wine barrel, with beer aged in it.
Oh!
Yeah, so it's kind of bourbon barrel-ish, but not bourbon. It's port.
Last year, that'll be the last time you ever get it.
Yeah.
How long is the beer aged in it? How long is the beer?
It was like, what, 6 months?
8 months.
Six to eight months. Wow. And it was really good. However, our winemaker, like I said, it takes 7 to 12 years to age port in a barrel. And it takes a lot of grapes, a lot of time to sit in a barrel that long where you're not making any money on it. So they're using all these other grapes for different wines right now. And for the meantime, we're not going to be making port.
If anybody has any port barrels in your basement,
please let us have them for our beer. he'll probably do port again, but even if he made it today, it'd be 7 to 12 years before it was ready. So, and before we were able to put our beer in it again. So that's one that we have to say goodbye to, but that was fun while it lasted.
The new thing to look out for, though, is we are getting ready to, every, like, mid-winter is, we call it the turnover season in the wine cellar. So last year's harvest is being bottled. Mm-hmm. This year's harvest is going into tanks and barrels after fermentation. So me being the brewer in the winery, I get all these barrels that are getting racked off. So coming up, we've decided to do a high alcohol, high gravity beer line aged in the red wine barrels. So that's something that we're gonna start doing a lot of. So start looking for that coming out. There'll be short tap releases, 750 milliliter bottles. Most of the gravity or most of the alcohol content will be in the 9 to 10%. You know, we might flirt with some 11 and a half. So that's something that's in the works right now. I'm working on some pilot base batches to go in those barrels, and that'll be happening within the next month. So look for them mid late summer next year, going into the winter.
What styles are you thinking of?
We're gonna do some stouts. We're gonna do the first one we're gonna do is gonna be an oatmeal stout that's aged in one of our Cab Franc barrels.
Our Cab Franc is amazing. Won best red wine in Ohio the last 4 years. There's almost 300 wineries in Ohio, so that's pretty good. It was poured at the Smithsonian in D.C. this year. Only Ohio winery, one of 12 American wineries to be there. We make some good wines. Beer's following right in line. Going good. Mix them together. Why not, right?
I had the slide job recently, so that's one thing you got to keep in mind. These bottle releases, they are limited and rare. I went out to the bottle release for slide job. Mm-hmm. That was probably a couple months ago, maybe. And I bought only one bottle, and I had it just last week, and it was excellent. I wish I would have bought more. So when you have these opportunities to buy these one-off collaboration beers, get them while you can, because once they're gone, if you like them, unfortunately, you're probably not going to be able to get them again unless they do it again next year. That one was very, very good. That unique taste with the cherries and the port barrel, you said it was. I wish I would have bought more.
I only have two bottles. One of them is going to get aged for at least 5 to 10 years.
Like a growler.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of places say that growlers, like you put the beer in there, they only last for so long. Why is that? They last longer?
I mean, I think the main, correct me if I'm wrong, the question is, if you put beer in a growler, how long does it last? we
to be still good.
I mean, I usually will tell someone 3 or 4 weeks, but the reason is it'll go flat, right?
The idea of a growler is we're going to be one of the, here in the next week, we're going to be one of only 2 breweries in Cincinnati that when you fill a growler, we're going to have a CO2 purge station at a growler station. So we're going to purge your growler before you fill it. Rheingeist is the only other one, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
Double Bear, or what's the word? Where
the growler
stuff. Eight Ball. That's what I meant.
Okay. Eight Ball. They have a similar machine. Yeah.
So we're gonna be one of the only other ones. So we'll purge that growler with CO2, which is going to keep it from oxidizing. Once that growler's filled and capped, honestly, I've had one for months.
That's the reason.
Months.
So it'll oxidize.
Once you
saying.
Open that growler, you've got 24 hours, at peak freshness, and after that, it's going to go downhill pretty quick. But if it's filled all the way to the top, sealed, that beer will last just like a regular beer, pretty much.
So you, I know some of you probably already paid, some of you have paid. So, I mean, anybody's free to go if they want. And if anybody else has any other questions.
We're just shooting the breeze now,
yeah,
so.
I didn't want anybody to think that we have more to come. But I think the dinner is over and the drinks are over. And we really appreciate all you guys coming. I was really excited to see pretty much all new faces here. This is awesome. You know, we see a lot of the same faces in our tap room or our restaurant weekly, and it's really great to see a lot of new faces. There's brochures, I think, on everybody's table. Has our address on the back, website, information in the middle.
Does anybody ever been to our place for dinner?
No.
Oh, my.
It's fun. I mean, it's a lot of people are like, you guys have to cook your own steak. It's the atmosphere. You come, you're like, you know, we have
cool place.
The buffet for the vegetables and everything, and all you can eat, dessert buffet. And you come up and you drink, you cook your own steak or your own salmon. And my brother-in-law, he always jokes, he says, yeah, we've been doing this for 25 years and I've never had one steak brought back from getting done right. The only steakhouse in town. And you're like,
it's a fact. So yeah, there's a lot. I mean, we, of course, our tap room's open for beer sampling, wine sampling every day. You can come for dinner on the weekends, music, menu, Thursday nights. We have a lot going on.
Yeah.
Whatever you're looking for, come out. Come see us.
I can't do it anymore.
Well, nice job, guys.
Thank you.